Welcome, everybody, to another almost Christmas edition of Dwarf Runners. This is probably our 31st episode now. We're really cracking through the numbers, which is pretty exciting. Almost two years in.
Right, yeah. Two years. I feel like the quality is getting better.
Yeah.
As we go with the quantity.
That intro I just did then was superb. People are just weeping with the emotion of everything that was I put forward in that initial load. I'm Alex, by the way, and this is Jamie.
I'm Jamie too. Yeah. I think it's just the nonchalance with your delivery. It's just you know you're good. You know everyone knows that you're good.
All those long time listeners out there.
All those bots.
Yeah, which was just before Christmas 2 years ago. We had no idea what we were doing back then. And we still have no idea what we're doing. And one day we might actually figure that out. But until that point, welcome to another episode.
Yeah, I think it's the best intro by far. That one.
100%. Maybe we'll do a Christmas special as well. I mean, that's not cool. I mean, what day is it today? It's like the 13th, lucky 13. 31st episode, 13th. Back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Conspiracy.
Mind blown.
Well, so what's the 31st episode about? What's our plans? 2021. What were we thinking?
Yeah. So 2020 has been a challenging year, but not in the ways that we wanted it to be. But you know, that's the way it is. And next year, you know, we should set ourselves up to overcome those challenges that are newly presented because, well, I mean, Jamie, you're knocking out the park fitness-wise. I have regressed significantly. So let's have a look at what we can do over the next months, even if we were to not have any events available to us, to actually, as in physical exploration events, so the ones we like to do, go somewhere new, see stuff, get, you know, have a drink somewhere different. So what is it that we can look at over the coming months? I think that's the key thing.
Agreed. Yeah. So there's loads of stuff, isn't it? I guess, you say I've been knocking out the park, like I've been doing more, but I've not been doing it particularly quickly. Isn't it?
You said 75 kilometers for the month of December and it is the 13th of December, lucky 13. I think we covered that earlier. Mm.
Yes, yeah, so it's been going well that way in terms of distance, but I think I need to start sneaking in that little bit of speed stuff because I'm still running like 6:30, 7 pace really.
Oh, and you're also doing the bike stuff and the swimming.
Well, yeah, I'm very happy to talk about me and how well my fitness is going.
Oh, seriously, you're doing really well. I've done pretty much.
Yeah, we talked about it before we did. Going back a few months, we did a virtual challenge. So talk about things you do, virtual challenges, and obviously we did what was it called? It was the Ultra Challenge something for June, wasn't it?
For June.
Yeah, really good. Got a multicolored buff, but I was looking to do 100K, and you're doing like 300 miles or something. So I got injured after 100K.
Yeah, 200 miles. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was but it's been fairly much, very much lower than that.
Yeah.
Since you.
So I guess the first thing that we can look at doing is doing another virtual challenge, and I think that's a great idea. So we looked at Ultra Challenge on their website to see anything exciting going on, and look at a December challenge called the North Pole Challenge. It's very exciting. We've both entered that, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely, and I think that what the Ultra Challenge guys do, which is good, is actually post you a buff as well, which is it was a really good buff for the June one. You got like a nice rainbow one, I think, because of Pride Month being June, which is really cool. And so North Pole one, I have high hopes for the buff for this challenge.
Yeah, and there's also you can also pay an extra £2.50 for a doggy buff. Matching doggy buff, which I don't have a dog, but I actually grabbed a doggy buff in case I do get a dog.
You never know.
You never know. Turn up for Christmas. Exactly.
Don't give dogs a gift. Just for now.
Yeah, dogs aren't just for Christmas. Or doggy buffs.
Definitely.
There was a few routes to choose from as well, isn't there, Alex? So like you go on their website and they've got four options.
It's very cool, isn't it? So you've got you basically set off, or you can pick your starting point, and each starting point has a different distance associated to it from getting from to the North Pole rather. So we're opting, of course, for the shortest one, because we only just found it today and assumed up front that actually we only have between today, the 13th, and the end of the month, 31st, in order to complete the challenge. So as a case of aiming to do 200K plus would have probably been a bit of a stretch, even though Jamie is cranking the kilometers out already. So we've opted to do the 100K route, which is listed as the Norway route. Do you want to tell them more about the Norway route there?
Yes. So Norway route, you set off from Orca Camp on Nordaustlandet. So apologies, I'm murdering these words, but it's part of the stunning Norwegian Svalbard archipelago.
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 Archipelago sounds like a disease.
It does, isn't it? It's not like I just practiced that for 10 minutes.
Oh, my archipelago is acting up again.
Oh, it hit me right in the archipelago. Right, so the I'm just going to give up. It's famous for its polar bears and an array of Arctic wildlife. We don the snowshoes and head due north for a short, sharp hop across the frozen ocean. So very descriptive. So that's the shortest route across to the North Pole or virtual North Pole. But there's also kind of Canada route, which is 200K, the Russia route, which is 300K, and then Greenland route, which is 400K. So we obviously thought that was a bit too ambitious, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm very jealous they have the polar bear camp. We only got, I mean, in the description, the Norway route has polar bears, but we're called the Orca camp. You know, I mean, I appreciate the polar bears are all over these places, but, you know, Russia got polar bears. Greenland got narwhals. I'm glad we weren't at that camp.
So Greenland's the only one that doesn't have the word archipelago in there.
Yeah, that famous Canadian archipelago.
Archipelago.
That pretty much sums up the challenge. Like, who wouldn't do this?
Yeah, you're not allowed to complete it unless you can say the words properly.
So, yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, we connect to the event via Strava. There's still, I think, a day to sign up. We just kind of assumed we'd start from ground zero, so that's what we entered with a 100K route. I mean, to be honest, I probably would have just entered with a 100K route anyway. Yeah. Being that it's December, Christmas month, my birthday is also this month. It's not really a challenge month for cranking out 400K, but nevertheless, we kind of expected 100K to be from today. Connected to Strava, and it's already got our distances for the month there, where I'm sat at 19 kilometers, and Jamie, you're well out in the lead here with 75 kilometers. So, you know, pretty much you're guaranteed to have the halfway prize point, for which they're giving away a jacket, I believe.
I can really feel warm and toasty in that jacket. I could smell the warmth.
It's your jacket to lose, yeah, at this point, to be honest.
But didn't really expect it. That's quite. I guess we could have considered going 200K, but I think this point in time, it's been like a year of being a down season. You're off season where you're building your aerobic base. You're not kind of doing any kind of proper racing, as it were. So I thought best not risk 200K. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's got quite a fun virtual map, so I recommend people kind of check it out. Lots of virtual challenges, and I mean, there's been loads of virtual races online that I've seen. I'm not sure if they're the same, Alex, but this one seems like the best, the one with the best marketing, which always appreciate a cheeky bit of good marketing. It doesn't go astray. Exactly.
Yeah. It's got a nice little graphic. It's quite cute. It's got like, it's almost got like a bit of 8-bit art in the word virtual, which I appreciate. everything benefits from 8-bit art. And it's just quite good. And you also get the midpoint prize at 50 kilometers, which we've mentioned. I've got a 30K to do clear in 2 days. Who knows if I make that? Probably not. But, you know, I bought a jacket this year anyway, so I'm not that fast. But as long as we clear our goal by the 31st of December, there is a prize for a free place on the Saharan Challenge, which is another one of their, not virtual, but actually a real challenge where you go out to Marrakesh, I believe. And do a 2-day challenge in the desert, which of course, Jamie, you've kind of old hat to you, but
I've done it once. I'm not going back.
You're guaranteed to win this prize.
Guaranteed, exactly. Oh, son of a bitch! I think this will be good. This will warm us up nicely for 2021, won't it? Do we have to simulate any icy conditions or anything like that?
I mean, I'm cold enough already. I think my tolerance this year for poor condition, I think that's probably why. I think over lockdown, actually, I've become way too comfortable with just staying in bed. Right, it's gone like, are the days of waking up. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I have to watch 2 hours of Netflix. Oh.
Yeah. Not again. Yeah, gone are the days of waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do some training. But this is a good motivator. Get out there, like I said. If you read my post on extrinsic. Intrinsic and extrinsic. I did a post on it. It was great. Go read it. I don't have to say it. Extrings it. Ah.
Okay, so
give up. You know what I mean.
Yeah, it's my favorite post. I think people should look at it.
Yeah, my only post this year, probably.
So that's the first like kind of topic, or so that's the first thing people could look at doing. So the second one I thought is like a good thing that people could get, and this depends on access to a running machine though, is Zwift. So a load of people getting into Zwift, previously just the cycle-based game, but now it's got like a running category. So if you're lucky enough to have a running machine or you're in a gym, you can kind of get on there, and they've got some loads of training workouts on there. Really, really interesting. Loads of sub 30-minute ones, other ones coming in under an hour. And they've also, if you're familiar with Zwift, they do a kind of a triathlon academy. So this year they've done their first Zwift Run Academy for 2020, and has 8 workouts which will look very curious, from a 5k pacing effort to intervals, threshold training, and so on. I expect maybe at the end of doing these 8 races, I expect you'll probably be a much quicker runner, which I'm very keen at kind of becoming. So what do you think about that, Alex?
Well, I mean, I cancelled my Zwift subscription because of going into the second lockdown, which is a shame. Gyms are open again, so maybe I'll have a look at updating that. But I guess the question with this that comes to mind, so you've got the run pod, which is on your foot. Do you actually need the treadmill? Can you just do this, run it? Can you run outdoors and then still go through the training regimes?
I mean, it's a good shout, actually. I might mess around with it. So traditionally with run pods of that, you know, Garmin do one, and then Stride do a ridiculous £200 one. Mm-hmm. So if you're really into your, really, really into your running, and you've got money to burn, it does all sorts of things more than the usual run cadence and so on. It's kind of the power strike into the foot, and then you're kind of stride length, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Really go into the detail of it. I think you probably need to have a coaching qualification to understand what to do with that information. just numbers to someone like me, I guess. But so traditional, those run pods, exactly as you say, you just kind of take it with you, and you can analyze your form. I think the data points that Zwift takes, I think, is cadence and power and so on. So I don't think you get like a massive amount of detailed information, but in principle, it should really just work, shouldn't it? As long as it's connected to your phone, your phone's got the Zwift app, so your phone and is Bluetooth and it's talking to the chip, which is Bluetooth. I reckon that probably work. It's worth a go.
So how does it tell you that you need? So for instance, I did the 5K training app on Garmin, and so that's all loaded into the watch. So when you needed to do a different segment, so okay, now you're in the sprint segment, it would just beep and show you the target pace.
Yeah.
And you'd go on it and it had like a little beep on it to say when you were under the pace or going too fast. And so you were able to use the watch to adjust what you were doing to match the training regimen. How does that work on Zwift?
So in principle, I'm thinking if I did this now with I'd have to look at my phone, which and that my phone, very small text, would then tell me exactly how quick to run.
Yeah.
It might beep or something and so on, because I think Zwift does beep at you when you're supposed to be doing something. I have to say, like, one thing is it doesn't have, so a lot of Garmin watches don't have connectability with Zwift at the moment, particularly the older range. I think the newer ones, like the 945 and the 245, I think. So that's the one you've got, isn't it, 245?
Yeah, the 245 is my current watch.
I reckon it's like a software update. They've added the software to be able to interact with Zwift, and they haven't backdated or gone through the older models to do the same. So okay. I've got an old 935, so it's a generation like kind of four or five years ago, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't interact. I think Garmin also use Ant Plus as well, don't they? Some of the
Ant Plus, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the issues with connectivity. I think Zwift does use Ant Plus, but I've read a few articles about there being some difficulty in there, but I guess the point is the watch I have isn't compatible with Zwift, so I don't actually get heart rate data. So irritatingly enough, my watch, when I do a 5K run on treadmill, even though I'm steaming along at what I consider to be a fast pace, borderline having a heart attack, my Garmin app thinks I'm not actually doing any work at all. So it slipped me into detraining when I did one of my high stress, kind of hit style running workouts, of doing kind of above threshold sprints for 400 meters, whatever. So that's really irritating. Yeah. And as you know from your experience, like Garmin watches and Garmin apps are rude, aren't they? They're rude.
Yeah, plain rude. Like, yeah, you're underperforming. No, you just don't. Oh, you know you ran a bit more than that. Oh, you're overtrained. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you trying to prove, mister? Unproductive.
He's a bit sassy. Yeah. So I reckon you'd be able to do probably easier. So I reckon it probably the app would work and the run pod would work with your watch. It doesn't with mine. So I think I need to get another sensor for my heart rate and so on to help. But I mean, it's worth a go.
You can do it.
Say I never did that. Never happened.
No, I'm just kind of. I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about here is where the difference is between, say, Zwift and Garmin. So in terms of, got the training plan that's available to you through the Garmin Connect app and the outcomes. So the normally, so with the 5K, when you would set your target time and then it would generate workouts and you'd say what days you could work out, and it would generate a workout schedule and a target race date for you to then, This is you making your this one you're going to make the goal, and so you'd work to that. So I'm thinking now with Zwift Run Academy, how does that do a similar thing, and is it something we could actually compare in terms of, like, well, if I did whatever different distance we're going for, whether it's a half marathon or whatnot, a training plan generated by Garmin versus a training plan created by Zwift, and how that worked out. Is that something that Zwift can use as a comparable there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've got specific workouts and they have plans as well. I mean, I think it's difficult. So with the cycling, I think that there's the FTP, which kind of governs exactly how quick or how much or how intense some of their programs or plans are. I mean, it's difficult for the FTP because you need heart rate for that as well, don't you? Like, I think FTP, do you need heart rate?
I assume so. I don't really know. It's been a while since I looked into what FTP was calculated as.
So I've done a fair yeah. number of things on Zwift Cycling, and my FTP score's not gone up. So it's maybe just I'm really unfit.
It's not gone up at all. Has it gone down? Has it done anything?
It's just that there, yeah. So the reason I mention that is because it's not. I don't think it's necessarily equivalent. Well, I can't see equivalent one on the running. So I think you get to set the pace of the workouts and the plans. So I guess you have to govern your own, you know, kind of. I don't think it's necessarily. It won't necessarily do like, say, I want to run a 4 minute kilometer. Give me a plan for that. I don't think.
Got it.
They do have plans. For example, kind of. There's a few on there like, you know, breaking your. You know, cyclist to 10k, you know, so it's like a introduction or kind of there's like a Zwift introduction to running. There's a kind of Zwift there. There's a half marathon speed builder 3 days a week. So there's a few things on there, and it might be because it's just right at the start. They might add more stuff, but I don't think there's that kind of necessary that bespoke element of, you know, specifically saying those times and then crunching. So yeah, I guess it's still good. Maybe Zwift is like a game, isn't it? And that kind of coaching. He is not necessarily integrated as much as, say, with Garmin and the way they approach things. Or at least I kind of, that's what I perceive it to be like.
Okay, that's interesting. So there's no point doing a comparison then.
we should definitely do it. Like, so I guess it depends. Like, you know, relatively speaking, like both maybe our PB times currently. What's the quickest we run a 5K, and then we could try. Doing the whatever workout programs and then see what happens at the end of it in terms of how much yours has increased, how much mine's increased in terms of percentage. Because I think you're still good to do a quicker 5K than me at this point in time. Comfortably, probably.
Outlook is doubtful. But it kind of makes sense that, you know, we could look at that and see a percentage difference of some sort, like you say. I'm not sure whether because you could drop down from a, say, a 35 minute 5K down to a 32, 33 minute 5K fairly well. To drop down, I assume it would be easier to drop those few minutes from a higher value than once you're down into your 25. I'm not going to go lower than that because. No one wants to run that fast.
No.
Then an extra minute on that time is actually pretty hard to graft, I think.
I mean, that's a really good point, isn't it? And I mean, we all hit plateaus, don't we? If we do. Yeah. And maybe one of the it'd be good one of these things is kind of if you're doing something different, it might help you kick past that plateau. Mm. I sat last couple of years. I sat at 25 minutes for a very long time. Because I was doing the old park run here and there and just doing longer runs at the weekend. So and it took a very long time to actually finally breach that 25 minute mark for me, even if I was like ragging myself to near heart attack level again. We have to quantify something, kind of some measure, I guess. Would we do like a time trial at the start, and that could give you an idea of exactly what's doable, because as you say, if you smash out like a 20 minute kind of 5k, there's going to be less room than they're relative to trying to smash out a 25 one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I think even things like FTP, it's hard to compare that person to person. You can only really compare that to yourself.
Yeah.
So it's really challenging to come up with a way that we could, without just both of us doing a Zwift and then a Garmin and then seeing how each of us did on the two and then be like, yeah, well, at one point we could prove on this and that, but then actually, was it your initial training that made the difference? The first app you went with, or
yeah,
exactly. So it's quite a challenging thing to look at, but it's just a thought. But I think, you know, it was quite good to have like the watch actually setting the pace for me when I was playing with that. And I imagine from the Zwift one, it's pretty much the same thing, right? If you just go out for a run and you're like, yeah, I kind of want to hit about, you know, a 6 kilometer pace, you kind of can run at that and be like, yeah, if I did that, that was great. If your watch is telling you, oh, you're doing 6 kilometer paces, you need to do 5:55 paces, go. It's like,
Well, that's no problem. I guess I'd have to connect my watch and then start, and then so I'd have the Zwift running and the watch running. So would it put two workouts in my Garmin and my Zwift, so I could do double the workouts? We should go for the 200 kilometer, Alex. This is much easier.
All you got to do is record it twice.
Exactly. Just cheat as much as possible.
Yeah. But you can upload it from your treadmill as well, and I have three times.
This guy's an animal. But I mean, that's interesting. So I think maybe it's worth maybe like you do a Garmin thing, I do a Zwift thing, and just see what happens. You know, see how we feel at the end of it.
Maybe just qualitatively. What's the sensation coming from the watch? Are you getting good feels from your Zwift app?
Yeah, I have to say it's the thing is good, actually, because treadmill running is horrendous, isn't it? Like, it's just really dull. It's just the most boring thing in the world. And having something, even, you know, even though it's just you running around a track in virtual world, is much more interesting than staring at a wall. Or even like a YouTube video or something. So I mean, it's interesting, it engages you. So I mean, that's a good point to start with. But I don't know, in terms of the fun bits of actually doing the speed work. You know, again, these, I always feel really good after speed work, but I tend to feel terrible during it. So I mean, I don't know, as long as I feel like I'm getting quicker, it probably feel like a win. Feels good. Feels like I'm fitter.
Just put a fan in front of your treadmill, and the movement of the air will make you feel quicker.
Wait a second, you're on something.
There you go. But go on.
Well, it's just another option. You know, Zwift or Garmin training programs.
Power on.
Option two.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's then a case of like, we're doing this training, doing the virtual ones. What are we going for at the end of it? Like, are we going for like trying to work out how to train for and actually complete an Ironman, for instance? I mean, that takes a lot more than you can. You know, there's all the virtual runs in the world, all the time on in Zwift Watopia, whatever it is. Probably not. I mean, at some point, you know, I mean, you must need more than that to go through an Ironman. What do you think?
I think. Jan Frodeno, I think we talked about this before, didn't we? He does always running exclusively indoors, well, most of the time anyway.
Oh, the guy with the treadmill with the 40-degree incline, that chap.
Oh, right, that guy's, no, he's I can't remember his name. He's the run steep, get high chap.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember what treadmill Jan Frodeno's got, but like he's like famously with the lockdown, you've had these athletes moving to a kind of 100% indoors training, and it seems to be, for some of them, it seems to be working really well. So. I don't know. So yeah, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, Alex? About, you know, kind of goals, and at some point in time, I thought, yeah, I think, to be honest, we've been focusing on ultra running a lot of 2019, and we got to the end of the year and thought maybe, you know, dip our toes into triathlons.
Mm, yeah,
as gradually, I've been watching kind of a lot of kind of footage, you know, of Kona and myself, and then the recent Daytona triathlon as well. That was relatively exciting. Well, that's laps. It's like 20 laps of the Daytona course.
Really? As in the NASCAR circuit?
Yeah. So that was actually quite interesting to watch it. Again, doing it maybe is not as fun, because again, you if you can see where, you know, it's such a large, it's large, obviously, in terms of the circumference of the course, but you can see it. But it just, I find it miserable if you see that far ahead. Just reminded me of doing that wall again. Do you remember that run where just one long straight road?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, NASCAR with cars is actually pretty dull. Sorry for NASCAR fans, but I mean, if you don't know anything about the cars or what the hell's going on, it's just some really boxy cars going around a circular ring for what appears to be eternity. So I can't imagine what doing that. I mean, those cars must be going a fair whack, right? I mean, they must be hitting over 100 miles an hour.
Oh, that, and then some, right? I think maybe 150, 200, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. Ridiculous speeds, yeah.
So to do that on a bike or or running That just sounds like a that sounds like torture.
Yeah. So it's the oddest thing it was as well, because like you know the 10K, sorry, the Olympic distance triathlons, mm-hmm. all those athletes during the cycle bit, they draft. So you get bunches and there's kind of all tactics related to exactly who, you know, breakaway groups, that kind of stuff. Really interesting. This one, the rules for this one, I think it's the same for Ironman in general, Ironman races, sorry, is you're not, no drafting. So they had to stay 20 meters apart or 10 meters apart, sorry. And it's just basically the top 20 people was just this long line of cyclists all kind of 20 meters apart. There was no real, there's like racing, but it's called very kind of relatively understated. So, I mean, I don't know. I get the no drafting rule because obviously it's easy if you go in packs and so on. It's kind of, it's maybe Ironman's a bit more like a struggle against the world using your own abilities, I guess. You know.
It's going to be a headache to if you're going to plan your move to overtake somebody and you have to be 20 meters behind them to regularly do it. Then, I mean, you've got to commit to that overtake at that point, haven't you?
yeah. And people got penalized. So there's Johnny Brownlee, the GB runner, triathlete, sorry, he got penalized 2 minutes. So
Daytona.
Yeah, in Daytona. So when he started the run course, he had to wait for 2 minutes at before he could. I think he did it in his second lap in the end. But I mean, how frustrating is that? You know, you can just see people going past you, and you have to wait for 2 minutes. Yeah. If you get it wrong, even like a meter off or something, yeah. Anyway, so long-winded segue there, but so we just kind of somehow we thought, yeah, let's do. Fed up with doing all this longer distance. Let's do something, you know, more sports in one race to mix it up a bit. And then obviously, like, why don't we do an Ironman, which obviously has a marathon? Yeah. In there. It's like I'm so stupid.
It's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Yeah.
I mean, City to Summit was an Ironman. I mean, I did the it took over 2 days actually. The time I did it, but it was a great course, the cycle and the run. So I did a duathlon rather than going the, I can't remember what that river is called in Edinburgh now. But anyway, skipped that and I just did the cycle and the run. It was a really great course, and I really hope they bring that event back, Rat Race, the organisers. And I think it's...
I was sad to miss out on that one, actually. That's amazing.
Exactly. I think an Ironman like that could be really... I mean, there are probably plenty of really good Ironman circuits around. Like, you're going to have the ones that are branded Ironman, and you're going to have the ones that are just, this is an Ironman distance. I mean, I don't know. Do we think it doesn't count unless you do an Iron Man branded one and get that ridiculous tattoo somewhere on your calf or whatever?
A left butt cheek.
Exactly. I have to have to carry a commute every day with your Iron Man backpack.
It reminds me, the Marathon des Sables, they gave some of the most random kit. It was this sleeveless gilet, but it was like bright yellow. And it was see-through, so it's really weird. I've never worn it, but I don't want to get rid of it. And then the t-shirt, I'm sure I got like a large t-shirt, but I think it's shrunk in the wash or something. So it's like a crop top now. It's like I can't even wear any of the memorabilia I got for doing this god awful several days in the desert. Yeah. But
if you're going out in Ibiza another time, then that's probably a good get-up.
Yeah, I'm probably a bit too old for that, but I'm probably a bit too old for doing many things. I can't really talk about it. I reckon we should just do it. Yeah, it doesn't matter the race. We just think. The thing is, I kind of we could just go out and just do an Ironman, couldn't we? We just go into the pool and do 2 miles. I think it has to be an event of some kind, just so we've got that experience in the middle and then kind of having a chat afterwards.
But I mean, there's the Ironman branding matter in the event, because like there's plenty of. Xterra events or all these other event companies, they have like Iron Distance events, but they're not an Ironman. Does that matter?
Well, I mean, the one this year is sold out. It's in Bolton, and it's actually on my birthday, Bodes Hill. But I mean, that's again, it's a lot of training, isn't it? That's the thing. They do say, I had a quick Google training plans for an Ironman. It's like 10, 20 hours per week, they suggest. 10 hours. If 10 hours if you want to have a bad time when you're running it. 20 hours if you want to do it reasonably well. And But I mean, I kind of with the lockdown, you kind of I found commuting, because I used to do a couple of hours commuting. I couldn't get up as early as you, Alex, to go train because I was far too lazy. So I kind of felt like my time, and it's been freed up a little bit, I think. So, you know, I have got 10 hours a week back, but do I want to spend that? You know, it's a lot of time, isn't it? Big commitment.
It is. There's so much Netflix to watch.
Oh God, there's quite a lot of Netflix.
They just keep adding more stuff every time.
Curse you, Netflix. So that's another option. You know, book something ridiculous when everything's calmer in the world, you know, when all the vaccines have come around. And hopefully we all have a bit more time to do some training if we've been lucky or fortunate enough. You know, obviously it's not the same for everyone. What other things do you think? You got any ideas?
To be fair, we've got the we have got our passes and things that we refunded from last year, right? So we've got the Ultra Challenge Isle of Wight that's still on the thing we've got to tick off.
Do you still want to do? I know you were a bit worried about that, weren't you?
Still want to get it done, because it was, you know, it's just one of those things that I failed. I think it's the only race I've pulled out of before finishing. So need to get it done at some point. And if we're going to be training for Ironman, and well, I mean, you can train for an Ironman, I guess. But you know, if we're still going to keep those distances, then I guess we've got to do something. You can do that. Take that off the list. But at the same time, there are other races we probably need to, you know, shorter distances. We've got PBs we can look at because of coming out of this, general fitness wise, 5K, 10Ks. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe like a Q1 PB, you know, kind of PB Q1. There's like a joke in there somewhere, there's like a pun. So I thought maybe we could do like a 5K, you know, train for 5K in January and then beat your PB for that. Then obviously do the same for 10K in February, and then maybe the half marathon in March. So if that works out.
So at the start of January, the goal for the 31st of January is to have a PB in the month of January.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 10K, then February is the same. 10K, we've got less time because it's only 20, well, it's not leap year, is it? 28 days next year. Yeah. Oh, it's a tougher challenge there, but. Who knows? Maybe I've already got a crap 10K. Maybe I've lost my 10K time. I don't know what it is. It could be 2 hours. Yeah, I'll just say that.
Actually, I have to say my watch keeps resetting. I don't know. Maybe it's some way of, you know, kind of getting rid of some of the memory. You run, it has to start writing over your old runs at some point, I guess. But it keeps on going. When yesterday it said, "Oh, your quickest mile ever." On the watch, and it's like a 10 minute mark. I run quicker than that. I run quicker than that on the Zwift machine a week ago. Currently, I guess the this version of me, then yes, I think it'd be relatively easy to beat my PB. But yeah, so maybe that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to set some personal goals. It's not just events. You don't have to do an event. You know, sometimes. You know, I had a discussion with some of my friends about kind of training, and sometimes I get people making fun of me because my training is relatively slow. But the only important pace is your race pace, really. Surely, you know, what you do in the race, not necessarily what you do in training. But if you do have a goal for having a PB, maybe you know that's the same, isn't it? Like your own race, you race against yourself.
It's just like life, really.
Yeah, exactly. Good metaphor.
You're the only competition. Make tomorrow better than yesterday.
Yeah.
And maybe
make
today.
Make sure past Jamie, you know, he's like, past Jamie sucks. This, you know, current Jamie is the best Jamie.
Oh, on you, future Jamie.
Yeah.
Definitely. And so we got 5K January, 10K February, maybe. If we depending on the post Christmas guild. And then March. So I mean, what's March then? Half marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right. March half marathon.
Yeah. So that's one thing. Maybe that sounds interesting, isn't it? Maybe that'd be right.
I mean, we kind of did that 1 year where we kind of ended up just doubling the event every year. Was that last year actually, where we kind of did a half marathon, what, and then we did a marathon. There was, oh no, we've got to do ultra marathon. It was all like within the space of like 3 months. We just kept without any training.
Yeah. I have to say, what we did last year, the fact that we did it was so little running in preparation was, I think, really impressive. That was quite funny. Like, how did that happen? Do you think it's people you meet along the way, isn't it? Oh, we should do this race. It's like, okay. You're right to have a beer with. I'll run ultra with you.
I mean, that is where it comes into it when you were saying about the, you know, it's all about your own training, your own this, that, and the other. But, you know, for me anyway, it's kind of like, you know, oh, going out to the likes of Chelmsford? No. No, we're doing all the runs in Scotland and in Belgium, Wales. You know, that's the exciting part, being able to go out there and see all that stuff and do all the things, and you have the motivation to do it then, because I mean, of course, you go to any place anytime you want, you know. So I mean, apart from now, because we're not allowed in Wales, I don't think.
Are they on lockdown?
I'm not sure anymore, to be honest. I'm just assuming we're not allowed to move, so that's it. Let's go with that. It's the safest way of not incurring a fine. just generally wouldn't. And you know, I've got a date, you've paid your money, you're going to have to go out there and do this. Isle of Arran, never have gone on the Isle of Arran otherwise. I didn't even know it existed, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we've run all the way around, not all the way around it. I think it was just the south of the island was in the run, but still, there's enough of the islands, more of the island than probably most of the people in the UK have seen, and certainly the majority of the world have seen. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. It's like speed tourism. We saw all the good bits, basically, didn't we? That was great.
The bog and the creepy rich Halloween stuff.
The mysterious British warship sitting on the coast.
Yeah.
And the blue azure waters.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it's the experience, isn't it? I mean, exactly. So the Ironman, we could always do like one in Lanzarote, isn't it? That's a famous one.
Lanzarote, that's one everyone goes for, isn't it? I don't know, is it because it's flat and fast? Is that Lanzarote? No, Lanzarote's not that flat, though, is it?
It's really hilly, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Why do people like Lanzarote? Maybe they just like the hills there. Maybe it's the most punishing. But then that must be Kona, right? Because Kona is the main event.
Yeah, Kona's pretty flat. It's flat. Is Kona flat? The thing with Kona is the heat.
It's built on volcanoes. It's in freaking Hawaii. Isn't Hawaii all volcanoes?
I mean, everything you said is pretty correct. I can't argue with that. Yeah, you've got me there with your logic, Alex. I seem to remember the wind being like a real big issue with Kona, in that you just basically have like you're fighting against for half of it. But I think you go out. Sorry, I tell you what, research. We need to do some research.
Yeah, we should really know more about the world of Ironman.
Yeah. All right, so that's another thing. We start reading about Ironman.
Yeah. Or just listening to Black Sabbath. That'll work.
I like it. We could put the music in the background for that.
So 2020, focus on listening to Black Sabbath.
Yeah. And polar bears.
Yeah.
Check out polar bear documentaries. Saying archipelago.
Archipelago. Archipelago.
I say it wrong again.
Archipelago. Archipelago, yeah.
Archipelago.
Just like it strings it. I used to be able to say that word. I swear I used to be able to say extrinsic.
That's extrinsic. The thing. If you learn one new word, then it pops another word out.
Yeah, that must be an archipelago. Yeah. To the place of extrinsic. Sorry, extrinsic. Good to have you, archipelago.
At least we learned something anyway. Learn something. Maybe not about Ironman. Wow.
I mean, that's a really good... although it's not called Ironman, is it? The animation... The book is called Iron Man, but the animation's called Iron Giant, which I highly recommend. It's really good. Really, really good. Superman. Oh, spoiler.
Oh, you could do an Iron Man dressed as Iron Giant.
Yeah, because running around in a load of armor like a robot. How hard could that? How hard could it be? Swimming, swimming like literally like an ironclad, ironclad athlete swimming through the wall. That wouldn't actually be any. Because what I was going to suggest was if you make the bike also a boat, so it's like an ironclad boat.
Then
you can cycle it that has a pedal thing, and then when you're out of the water, then you can lower the wheels and cycle it, and then and then I'm stuck. I guess you have to carry it then. Which is not a great idea.
Do you think the air resistance would be pretty good, wouldn't it? I guess because the prow.
Well, if you shape help. It,
you shape it. Yeah, it's good work. Yeah,
make it proper aerodynamic. Basically, just a. Just a aquatic car is what I'm talking about.
We're gonna have to get like a tri-suit. We're gonna have to get all the kit. That's the thing with like the triathlon is it's quite expensive, I guess, isn't it?
Exactly. Definitely cheap out though, and just spend all at Decathlon. You know, some good value.
Yeah.
So I mean, probably going to use it like once or twice anyway, so it doesn't need to be.
I got my wetsuit. So I did a couple of triathlons years ago. I got my wetsuit from Decathlon.
Worked all right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fine for like most stuff. I mean, I don't know. I just don't trust that if I was going to get something technical, I'd probably be like a bit, you know, 20 quid for this iron lung.
Iron lung.
That's important.
The current culture, yeah, we wouldn't be surprised if polio came back, to be fair. Like a sign of things to come. Getting your iron lungs for Decathlon. It was like, so I want my life-saving machine made by the lowest contractor. The cheapest price.
Except for that. I'm trying to think of what, I mean, like, I wouldn't buy a bike from Decathlon, like a Decathlon-branded bike to do an Ironman. Like 120, but you know, maybe they're great. Maybe, you know, prove me wrong. Yeah. You know, if the Decathlon want to lend me a bike to trial out, then
Tri-bikes are pretty expensive, but I reckon we do this in like I did one triathlon with my mountain bike, looked like a right prick. My bike I got when I was 15 years old, and I haven't grown out of. But I didn't do very well in the bike section, as you'd expect.
maybe next year, same bike, 120-mile course. Yeah, you've got the training in the bag now.
Oh man, like again, cycling is my cycling's a big issue with me. I think I'm terrible at it. You talk about the races you haven't finished. Like I entered I think it was the Tour de France thing, but a kind of anniversary ride. So you started off the Olympic Park, and I think you did a kind of Tour de France-y bits.
Oh yeah,
might have been like the Olympic course. Saying that, some Olympic course road race. I'd signed up to do the 100 kilometer with Stuart and Nathan, and I think the bike I'd borrowed from Adam, and he has a longer torso than I do, so I hadn't set it up correctly basically, and I only really discovered this when my back started chronically collapsing in agony. So I dropped down to the 40k bit and went home.
That's how we got to play this next year, really.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I can do the running, I can do the swimming. It's the bike thing that really worries me, which unfortunately is where all the time goes. That's where all the
just do swim one instead then.
That's a great idea.
Right. You need the flipper things for your hands. It's the only issue with swim run.
Yeah, I mean, I think my back will thank me. Let's do that.
Well, I mean, you get to have the buoyancy aids that lift your butt up as well. So that's a bit better on your back, a bit easier.
Okay, well, this is like a win.
It's got to be cheaper than a 5k bike. I mean, not that I'd spend that much on TryFi, yeah. But
and a £300 Ironman fee to enter. This thing is expensive, isn't it? Hey, is that the first thing? The podcast is like, hey, we're going to do this amazing Ironman thing. It's like, at the end of it, we persuaded ourselves not to do it.
It's a terrible idea. Definitely don't do Ironman, especially if it's branded.
Yeah.
You know what? Check out DarthGamers.com.
Yeah. Well, technically, Zwift is like a game, isn't it? So, I mean, that's kind of in the same peripheral area.
Exactly.
Multi-platform, love it.
Rock and roll. Cool. So let's head out and work on our plans for conquering the North Pole and our 5K timing, and let's do a little bit more thinking around this and come up with a list of things that we're gonna kick off for our Christmas special. which may or may not be around Christmas.
Well, thanks to Chini, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. If you hope you enjoyed the show. If you've got any comments or you know, want to reach out to us with any suggestions, do contact us at podcast@daftrunners.com and check out all our really exciting, cool content at daftrunners.com. Excellent. Anyway, that's the episode for now, and catch you next time. Ciao for now.
Ciao.